Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson in for Rachel Miro. 800 workers at San Francisco's Union Square Hilton now have a tentative contract after a year and a half of negotiations. Housekeepers, cooks, and other Unite Here members are expected to ratify the deal this Friday. It provides wage and pension increases, but the provision many workers say they are most excited about is a continuation of employer-paid health benefits. Jacob Awoka has been a doorman at the Hilton for over 20 years.
To maintain health care for ourselves so we can serve our customers, it's a good help for the economy to grow, and also maintaining the health care for my family, my wife, and my kid.
The Union Square Hilton is the first of the city's 61 unionized hotels to reach such a settlement. A leader with Unite Here says boycotts at the city's Hyatt and Starwood hotels are ongoing. This week could be make or break for Governor Jerry Brown's budget plan, and for now, the signs are not promising. The California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers has more.
Sometime this week, both houses of the legislature are expected to debate the state budget in order to meet a March 10th deadline set by Governor Jerry Brown, one that now seems to have moved.
What date are you operating on now? What are you telling
people? As soon as possible. Each day, look, every day that passes, the election can slip.
That election for voters to consider an extension of taxes is driving the pressure for fast action on a budget deal. Lawmakers must act soon if they want voters in June to consider extending $11 billion of income, sales, and car taxes. But the governor has not yet found enough legislators needed to call an election. Monday, he said the problem is political pressure from anti-tax conservatives.
There are some Republicans in the caucus that threaten anyone who would vote to let the people decide with retaliation, with campaign funding, and all the tactics that primary campaigns face.
A few hours after Brown made those comments, five Republican state senators declared private talks with the governor at an impasse, but over issues, not politics. A letter they released claims their demands for pension reform, a cap on state spending, and other items have not been met. None of those Republicans would comment on their letter. But in last week's budget conference committee, other Republicans said they think there's more to cut. Assemblymember Diane Harkey, a Republican from Orange County, has been pushing for an across-the-board cut.
A $1.2 billion, 10% across the board, 20% across the board, does not mean early release of prisoners. It merely means that you're asking department heads to reduce their general operating expenses, and they can choose to do it whichever way they want.
Democrats, however, insist the cuts proposed by Brown and backed by them are already severe. The budget plan includes $1.4 billion less spending on higher education, further cuts in health and welfare programs, and less spending on the developmentally disabled. Also complicating things, leaders of cities across California are threatening to sue over the governor's plan to abolish redevelopment agencies. The plan would divert those existing property tax dollars to the state budget in the first year and to schools and local governments after that. Chris McKenzie, executive director of the League of California Cities, says that violates last fall's local government protection measure, Proposition 22.
The public justification that's being given for this proposal is to get around Proposition 22. If this is the case, and it appears to be the case, the voters should be outraged.
Legal battles notwithstanding, legislative leaders say no viable alternative has come forward to redirecting money from redevelopment. And on Monday, State Controller John Chung released an audit finding local redevelopment agencies have vague proof they produce jobs and vague definitions of the blight they were created to clean up. It's important to note that what's at stake this week is not a full budget, but a preliminary step to a solution that includes both spending cuts and taxes. The fact that the state faces a deficit of more than $26 billion is, sadly, probably not surprising for Californians plagued by years of fiscal crises. But what may be surprising is Governor Brown's insistence, repeated several times over the last few weeks, that if taxes aren't extended, he will insist the deficit be erased only by spending cuts. For the California Report, I'm John Myers in Sacramento.
There's more about the state budget and California politics on John's blog, Capital Notes. You'll find a link at californiareport.org. People who fish for salmon off the California coast are meeting in Vancouver, Washington this week with federal scientists and government officials to decide the outlines of this year's fishing season. Reporting from the meeting of the Pacific Fishery Management Council, Dan Brecky finds there's plenty of hope, but also concern about what the season holds.
Which zone are we in now? San Francisco? April 2nd through November 13th.
Craig Stone of Emeryville is attending the Fishery Council meeting on behalf of California charter boat operators. The dates he tosses out are a wish list for when charter fleet and sports anglers would like to hit the water and start catching Sacramento River Fall Run Chinook salmon. Commercial salmon operators are going through the same process. Scientists say the Great Sacramento Run has rebounded this year after a crash that wiped out three straight fishing seasons and crippled a fourth. But as they set dates for this year, both the fishing industry and the people who study the fish would like to know why the salmon collapsed. Despite ongoing concern about conditions for salmon and other fish in the Sacramento River and the Delta, federal scientists issued a report over the weekend that assigned the blame for the salmon crash to poor ocean conditions. Robert Cope is a federal salmon biologist who works with the Fisheries Council.
And though there are chronic problems with survival of fish that migrate through the freshwater in the rivers and through the Delta, you can't really blame that for the complete collapse of these broods.
That conclusion doesn't sit well with fishermen who say they're concerned the finding will undercut efforts to provide more water for salmon and other species. Salmon boat owners are also concerned that questions about the health of Chinook runs on the Northern California coast will deprive them of a wide-open fishing season. Barbara Emley is a San Francisco salmon troller.
I'm hoping that we'll have a full season south of Point Arena. It doesn't look like that's going to be possible from what we see so far.
The commercial fleet has proposed options that would open the coast to salmon fishing beginning in May and continue most of the summer. The Pacific Fishery Management Council will issue alternatives for public comment tomorrow and decide on final dates next month. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecky in Vancouver, Washington.
That's the California Report for Tuesday, March 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, celebrating the 2011 recipients of the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards. More information is available at www.irvine.org. The California Endowment, building healthy communities because that's where health begins. More information at calendow.org. And Chevron, investing in renewables, strengthening communities, and creating jobs. More information available at chevron.com.